Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Most of us have had the experience, I think, if you're of driving age and you've driven any time at all, of driving through very heavy rainstorms. Have you had the experience, if you've driven before, of driving through a really heavy rainstorm? If you're out there online, you've got your hand up too. We've all been there. One that stands out in my memory is a terrific storm that the Case family drove through on one of our vacations many, many years ago. I think it's back in 2012, 2013. We stayed at a bed and breakfast in Harper's Ferry. And we were in Washington, D.C. It was broiling on the mall, and we were touring all the different monuments. And we were all hot and tired, and we were on our way back to our bed and breakfast to Harper's Ferry. We were on Interstate 495 right outside of Washington, D.C. And this ginormous summertime rainstorm hit while we're on the interstate driving out of D.C. And I just remember it hit so suddenly. You couldn't see anything. It was just a blur, and traffic came to a stop. Kind of looked like this slide we have up on the screen this morning. The traffic just kind of came to a stop, and the wind howled. We were right next to a wooded area, and the trees were bending over on the road. We were on the interstate, and the trees were bending over, and we were kind of worried that the trees on the interstate and the median were going to fall over on us. And it rained some more, and the wind blew some more. And we're just crawling along in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and all I could see in front of me was my windshield wipers couldn't work fast enough for me to see where we were going, and all I could see is the blur of the red lights in front of me. And then, as fast as the rain began, the rain just simply stopped. It just simply stopped, and as we emerged from that storm, all of a sudden, the sun came out. The sun, it was raining, then all of a sudden, the sun came out. And the traffic started getting back up to speed, and we found ourselves on our way. Again, on I-495. It was that kind of storm where everybody's looking out the window and we're like, hey, rain, sun, there's going to be a rainbow somewhere, right? And we were driving in the rain, but the sun was shining, and everybody, myself included, driving down the road as we're emerging from this rainstorm, trying to find the rainbow. And that episode of emerging from that rainstorm, it just got me to thinking over the past couple of weeks, following a year of pandemic-related restrictions that have felt like walls of rain and wind, metaphorically speaking, we collectively, hallelujah, are starting to emerge, I hope, from this pandemic lockdown that we've been in. Now, you're socially distanced this morning. You're wearing masks. We're rolling with it online with the technical glitches. And that's probably going to be the way reality is for the next couple of months. But boy, it's a lot better than being locked up in your living room to do church on Sunday morning. Can I get an amen? Yeah. The rain has stopped, metaphorically speaking, and it's still sprinkling a little bit, it seems the rain is stopping, the sun is coming out, and all together we are literally emerging from the storm into a new chapter together.
Amen.
Amen? So just as we're emerging from this global pandemic that was headlines a year or so ago, and it wasn't real, and then all of a sudden it became real. Just as we're emerging from this global pandemic, it makes me think about the early church. The early church emerging as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Emerging from the darkness of Good Friday, emerging into the light of Easter Sunday, emerging into the reality of resurrection life and resurrection power. A new chapter was opening up in the wake of resurrection. But in order for the baby infant church to emerge healthy and vibrant and effective and strong, a very strong foundation had to be laid for the church to emerge into what God was calling the church way back then, 2,000 years ago, to do. If this new venture were to thrive, if this new venture is going to grow, if this new venture with these apostles gathering around trying to figure out what's going on, if it's to change the world, it had to be truly rooted in something other than human ambition. It had to be rooted in something other than strong alpha personalities. It had to be rooted in something more than personal initiative. Just the gumption and the let's go do it kind of attitude that normal people typically had. You see, emergence is rarely easy. Driving through that storm was stressful. Driving through that storm was scary in a lot of ways. Going through a global pandemic, lockdown, has been stressful. It's been inconvenient. At some points in time, it has been scary. And at some points in time, it seemed like, what are we doing? Are we out of our minds here? Are we losing it? Emerging from those types of difficulties, it's a relief when we come out of it. But we need to be strongly rooted with a strong foundation if we're going to be effective as we move into the next chapter of what God's calling us to do in our lives. Same for us, same for the early church. There always seems to be a struggle as the new breaks forth. There always seems to be a struggle as the new breaks forth. Like a mother in childbirth, it's difficult. There's tension, there's pain, there's friction. Those things are always going to be kind of in the atmosphere with us. And they're with us now as we emerge. As you're watching online out there, you might be a little frustrated this morning that things aren't working perfectly, technically, right? Things aren't as smooth as they were at the store. Maybe the Amazon delivery's a little late. Maybe the toilet paper's not as abundant on the store shelf. Maybe you have to wait to get your favorite type of steak sauce. I don't know. But there's just all of these inconveniences that come with emerging from a time of difficulty. And as we look back on the early church, as we look back at the apostles, they didn't have a handbook. They didn't know what was going to come next. We know the story so well that we just take it for granted that they just knew, right? They just naturally did the right thing, made the right choices, and kind of went on their way, but they had no idea. They had no idea as they were dealing with the early church back then. They had no idea that you and I would be standing on their shoulders and on the shoulders of other people that they influenced 2,000 years later. Early church, emerging. And so as we emerge from the pandemic, you and I, we don't know what's going to happen next. I wish I did. You know, think about a year ago. We didn't know what was going to happen next. And that was part of the scariness, is we just didn't know what was next in the story for us individually or for our community or for us as a faith community. There's no handbook to this. But what will be our legacy, church? What will be our legacy, Maplewood, as we emerge into this new chapter? There's new opportunity for us in our faith community right here in this building and out there in our online community as we emerge together from this pandemic. I don't have a handbook. I don't know what's going to come next. But what will be our legacy as a faith community as we emerge from all of this? There's opportunity in front of us, new opportunity. Makes me ask myself as your pastor, will anybody be standing on our shoulders 2 years from now, let alone 2,000 years from now? What legacy will we leave as a church, as a faith family, as we emerge from the global pandemic of 2020 and 2021? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore what we need to do to emerge effectively from the pandemic so that we can effectively move together into what's next. For Maplewood. I don't know what's next for Maplewood, but I'm excited because I know that God has a plan. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Do you believe that? That God has a plan for us in this community, and it's not going to be the way it was, like it was before, and there's some grief and mourning that goes with that. But there's also, you can live in the past and pine for the way it was, but we're all literally in this together, moving into the new normal, the next chapter. How will we embrace the opportunity as a faith family? And how will we build a foundation and a legacy upon which others can come into the kingdom of God as a result of our faithfulness? That's what we're going to be talking about. So in order to emerge successfully into the new thing that God wants us to do, and the new thing that God wants to do in our lives personally, and what God wants to do, the new thing he wants to do in our church, as I've been studying just that story of the early church, it's become very apparent to me that in order to emerge successfully, in order to have that strong foundation built, we must overcome doubt. We must overcome guilt. We must overcome a sense of lacking, or the reality of the fact that we just don't have within us everything we need to do what needs to be done. We must overcome betrayal and broken relationships. And I think that we must also be willing and positioned to receive fresh power from the Holy Spirit if we are going to be successful in moving into the new thing that God wants us to do collectively, and the new thing he wants to do in your life. God wants to do a new thing in your life. We're still in the Easter season, believe it or not. Easter was just a couple of weeks ago, and Easter isn't just a day. Easter is a season. We're in this time between Easter and Pentecost when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be exploring what it means to emerge today by studying how the early church emerged in the days following Jesus' resurrection, okay? Does that sound good? I just laying a little bit of a foundation of what we're going to be doing over the next month or so. We're going to be gone next week, but Pastor Ed will be filling the pulpit. But I'm going to come back, and this is what we're going to be focused on as we move into the month of May and as we move into the closer to summer, which is crazy to even say that already. But hallelujah, spring is coming, right? So today I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 20. We're starting on Resurrection Sunday. What happened on Resurrection Sunday? We want to open our books, our Bibles to John chapter 20, focusing on verses 24 through 29 this morning. It's a familiar story. It's the story of Thomas. It's the story of Thomas. In John chapter 20, Jesus had appeared to his disciples on Resurrection Sunday evening, but Thomas wasn't there. Thomas missed church. When you miss church one Sunday, whether it's in person or online, you miss a lot. Amen? Amen. We need this every 7 days. We don't want to miss what the Lord is doing in our faith community. We need it to stay connected, but we need it to stay aligned and with each other. I don't know about you, but I just get hungry for that fellowship, that koinonia, the Greek word, that fellowship, koinonia, with one another, that we get when we come together and we break the word open together, we sing together. We need to be on the same page. You miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. So in John chapter 20, Jesus has appeared. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Maybe Thomas had vertigo. Maybe he had allergy-induced vertigo, and he just wasn't able, anybody, and you just haven't been able to get up and go to church, and you miss a Sunday. And Thomas missed it, and we're not condemning him for missing a Sunday. Well, that's not my message this morning. We don't know why Thomas was absent, but he wasn't there, and it had an impact. It had a profound impact on him. All right? And so the disciples are back together. This is a week later, the next Sunday evening. They're gathered together again as they've been doing. They're trying to connect the dots. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't have a handbook. They're just trying to figure out what's going on. And here's what happens in verse 24 of John chapter 20. Now Thomas, called Didymus, which is twin in Greek. So I think Thomas was probably a twin. He probably had a twin brother. Or I think it's possible he had a twin sister, since we never hear about her or hear about who this twin is. Now Thomas, who was a twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, which is kind of creepy, and put my hand into his side, which is kind of gross, I'm not going to believe it. So the third week after Easter, a week later, Jesus' disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was there this time, right? Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus has this tendency of just showing up when the doors are locked. He's in this new resurrection body. I call him Resurrection Jesus, okay? He's Resurrection Jesus. He's in this new body that transcends the physics of time, matter, and this creation. He is the first fruits of the new creation in his resurrection body. And Jesus shows up, and he does what he always does when he just appears. Kind of walks through the walls and says, "Shalom. Peace be with you." Don't be afraid, guys. It's me again. "Peace be with you." Then he looked at Thomas straight up, and he said, "Thomas, put your finger right here. See my hands? Touch the wounds. Touch the holes where the nails went through. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Touch the wound, Thomas. Stick your fingers right in. Don't worry. It doesn't hurt me. Touch it." "Stop doubting, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God, which is a profession of faith. A profession of belief. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, because you, Thomas, have seen me, you've been blessed because you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Amen? Amen? Word of the Lord this morning. As we reflect on this familiar story today, three quick things come to mind for me. Three quick things come to mind to me related to doubt. Related to doubt, three things that come to mind related to doubt that obstruct our ability to emerge. Because doubt obstructs our ability to emerge into the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. And I'm not going to talk to you about brain surgery this morning. These are pretty obvious, no duh kind of observations. But we're laying open the word this morning so it can speak to us. First of all, doubt, which causes us to not be able to emerge effectively, doubt is rooted, it is anchored in isolation. Doubt is anchored in isolation. Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus first appeared on Resurrection Sunday. We don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't present when Jesus appeared and revealed himself in resurrected form to them. He just was absent. He missed this incredible moment, historic moment in time. And when he heard the news, he simply couldn't believe because he wasn't there. He had been isolated from the group, and he wasn't present. He couldn't believe, even though Thomas had spent so much time with these guys. These were his closest intimate friends. Even though he probably trusted their word intimately, he knew them. They'd spent 3 years together under the tutelage of Jesus, the rabbi. And that meant 24/7 commitment to live with one another. He knew their quirks. He knew what he liked about them. They all knew their personalities. But he knew he could trust these guys. He loved them like brothers. But he couldn't believe them because he wasn't there to see it for himself. He wasn't able to believe based on their testimony. His isolation from the group's experience kept him in doubt. Have you ever felt left out? Kyle, have you ever felt left out, dude? I mean, come on. And we've all felt left out, not invited to a party. I'm in group A when I want to be in group B. You ever felt left out before? Maybe that's how Thomas is feeling in John chapter 20. After all, he missed out on an historic event that would never happen again the way it happened. He just missed it. He's never going to be able to recover that. He felt left out. Maybe that was how Thomas was feeling. For many of us, isolation isolation, being isolated from, and boy, talk about isolation. We've all had a lesson in isolation in 2020, 2021, haven't we? Isolation is one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses for believers. He likes to isolate us and get us off on our own so that he can get his teeth into us, like my puppy dog likes to get his teeth in my arm when it plays with me. When we're isolated, we're alone. When we're isolated, we're vulnerable. When we're isolated, there's no one to bounce your thoughts off of. It's one of the beautiful things about koinonia, about fellowship in the church. You can actually talk to somebody. You can bounce your thoughts. You can bounce your experiences off of one another. We've had a small men's group that's been getting together. Dexter's been leading that. We're going to start that up again here pretty soon online, maybe even in person. But Dexter, I know you and I, we both just talked about how incredibly helpful it is to be able to just bounce your thoughts off of another brother. The women's Bible study group, to be able to bounce your thoughts off of another sister. When we're isolated, we're not able to do that. When we're isolated, there's no one to validate our personal experiences. When we're isolated, there's really no one to hold us accountable, right? You know, when you're off on your own, nobody's looking, right? So I can do what I'm going to do, and nobody's going to know I screwed up. Sorry, Jesus. When we're isolated, there's no accountability. And all that isolation, all that loneliness, it naturally leads to doubt. See the correlation between isolation and doubt. It leads us to doubt ourselves. Can I get an amen for anybody who's doubted themselves in 2020 or 2021 as the result of all this stuff that's going on? You start asking yourself, am I crazy? Am I going out of my mind? Am I losing my marbles? Don't answer that. We tend to doubt ourselves. We tend to doubt our experiences, right? We tend to doubt. We even get to the point, if we're isolated too much, we tend to start doubting what we thought was true. We start doubting our beliefs. Dangerous place that we can be in, and when we're isolated. As a result of being isolated, all that doubt can leave us sidelined. All that doubt can leave us sitting on the bench rather than being in the game. And the game I'm talking about is the game of the building of the kingdom. When we're in doubt, we're on the bench. Coach, I don't even want you to put me in because I'm not sure I even know what to do when I get out there. I've been penned up in my house doing church online all year. I don't even know how to worship in person anymore. You do. All that isolation, all that doubt can leave us feeling sidelined. All that isolation, all that doubt, it can keep us from actually realizing our full potential. It stunts our growth. This last year has been a big pause in all of our personal growth and development in some ways. But in other ways, you know what they say, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. We've learned a lot. We've grown a lot. I hope you've grown a lot in this past year in your faith. It's just that before the pandemic, we were growing over here. And in the midst of the pandemic, God's got us growing in other ways. But still, in the isolation and the doubt, we're not realizing our full potential if we're on the bench. All that isolation, all that doubt can leave us feeling helpless. It can make us feel useless. Why am I even trying? Right? It can make us feel like full of despair. Doubt is anchored in isolation. It was for Thomas. It's that way for us too. Second point here this morning. Doubt obstructs belief. Doubt obstructs belief. Jesus told Thomas, Tom, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Doubt is not simply a lack of belief. Okay? I want you to see that this morning. Doubt means that we're convinced that something else is going on. Doubt in one thing means that we're believing in something else. Doubt means that we're convinced something else is going on, that something else is true or valid. And we're convinced because of our personal experience or our access to the facts that our truth is the real truth. Thomas, I don't believe he's been resurrected. I'd have to see it for myself. That's just a little short of my Yosemite invitation. But doubt means we're convinced something else is going on. We're convinced because our experience and our access to all the evidence has been limited. Can we admit this morning that we don't know everything? Can you be open to that truth? Even if you see the video and you know exactly what happened because you saw it on video, guess what? There's a whole lot of information that also exists that informs the truth of what's actually going on. You know, I think of it this way. On a cold winter day, I'm taking myself back to January because it snowed this week. You know, I could be sitting inside my home on a cold winter day, looking out the window, looking at the sunshine, looking at the clear blue sky, and look at Pastor Vicky and say, I'm going to go swimming today. Sky's blue, sun is out, I'm going to go swimming today. And Pastor Vicky might look at me and say, are you crazy? Joseph, it's January. But I doubt the accuracy of her comment. Sky's blue, sun is out, I'm going swimming. So I put my swimming trunks on, I get my towel over my shoulder, I'm going to go to the pool. Until I go out the door. I'm shocked to find out that it is bone-chillingly cold outside, and I retreat to the warmth of my house. My evidence, blue sky, sunshine, was limited. There was more to the truth of what was going on, and I doubted Pastor Vicky. Gasp. My belief that it is a good day to swim is undermined by my lack of access to all of the evidence, all of the facts. You see, I needed additional evidence to help me overcome my doubt and Pastor Vicky's claim that I'm crazy for thinking that I could go out and swim that day. Our doubt, folks, sometimes our doubt is based in a lack of information or personal experience, and that obstructs our ability to fully believe. Thomas doubted because all the evidence available to him told him that a resurrected Jesus just simply was not possible. Just not possible, let alone logical. He saw Jesus die on the cross with his own two eyes. He watched him roll the stone in front of the grave. Jesus was dead, dead. He was in the grave. How could Jesus be alive? But his doubts overcome when new evidence is introduced to him, right? Which is cool. When Jesus shows up and Thomas experiences the resurrected Jesus, resurrection Jesus on the scene, Thomas experiences him for himself. Jesus said, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And that's the third point this morning. Doubt is overcome when we personally experience Jesus. Doubt is overcome when we experience Jesus personally in our own lives. When Thomas was drawn out of his isolation, when he was able to touch Jesus' hands, when he was able to touch Jesus' feet, when he was able to touch Jesus' side, when he was able to see it for himself, his own words, right? When he was able to see it for himself, we witness Thomas move from doubt to belief. My Lord, when we're drawn out into the open and experience Jesus for ourselves, church, we're able to move from doubt to belief. And sometimes that happens at one point in time when we're saved, but sometimes we go through episodes in our lives when we need to go through that movement once again. When we you know, and note here, Thomas was with other disciples. He was with other disciples when he overcame his doubt. We overcome doubt together in community. We overcome doubt when we're with other brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we would get sucked back into the reality of our own experiences, our old sin, and our old doubts, and we're going to be drifting once again. One of the greatest gifts God gives us to overcome doubt is our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other now more than ever. When we share our stories of how Jesus changed our lives, we're liberated, and we're getting ready to emerge into this new thing that God wants to do in and through our lives. Because Thomas emerged from his doubt, great and new things happened that otherwise would not have happened. Did you know that Thomas took the gospel to India? The gospel man Thomas personally took the gospel all the way to India. And there are some who say that Thomas was responsible for getting the gospel to China. And there's some other historical evidence that Thomas got the gospel all the way to Indonesia, all by himself in his lifetime, that he carried the gospel. He expanded the kingdom all that way. He overcame doubt and got off the bench and got into the game. He graduated from doubter to apostle to hero of the faith. He made a difference, and he gained new territory for the kingdom. He didn't have a handbook. He didn't know what was next, but he was firmly rooted in a belief that Jesus was alive. So as we stand poised to emerge from the pandemic today into this new chapter, and I'm wrapping things up here real quickly, we need to deal with doubt, folks. You need to deal with any doubt in your hearts that can keep you sidelined. Maybe your doubt is rooted in some personal failure. I just can't overcome that. Maybe you disappointed somebody. Maybe you disappointed yourself. Maybe we're allowing the wrong voices to influence our thought lives and our thinking, our hearts and our attitudes. Who are you allowing to influence you? You know, Jesus, he looked at Thomas in his unbelief. He invited him to personally touch his side, his hands, his feet. And as Thomas overcame his doubt, he was able to emerge. He was able to emerge as he dealt with his doubt. Not only because Thomas believed in Jesus, but because Jesus said, "Thomas, I believe in you." Maplewood, as we believe in Jesus, Jesus is saying, "I believe in you." I want you to understand that today. I know you're in a hurry to go off, but don't miss it. Jesus believes in you. He believes in you so much. It's one thing you say that you believe in somebody or something, but you know belief's real when it's put into action. Jesus believes in you so much that he died on the cross for you. He believes in you so much that he took the punishment that you were supposed to have. Jesus believes in you so much that he rose from the grave to give you victory and no fear over death. Jesus believes in you so much that he went to heaven so he could give us his spirit to empower us to be his ambassadors and to advance his kingdom here on earth. Jesus believes in you, church. Do you believe that this morning? That is a glorious truth. When we believe in him, Jesus believes in you. Nobody believes in me, Pastor. Nobody's on my side. Jesus believes in you. Overcome your doubt. Prepare to get up and get out of your seats and emerge into the new chapter, the new thing that God wants to do in your life and in the life of our church in the coming days. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today, Lord. We know that you want to do something new. And Lord, in the coming weeks, I pray that you would just be preparing us, that you'd be opening our hearts and our minds so that we can get up off the bench and we can get into the game, maybe in ways we've never imagined before. Food trucks coming to our parking lot ministry. Who knows what opportunities, Lord, that will come forth in the new day ahead. But Father, we want to be locked in without a doubt, believing in you, knowing that you believe in us, filled with your Holy Spirit, so that you can help us emerge into a new day, coming out of the storm clouds, being ready to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth where we're able to. Father, thank you for believing in us. Let us leave this place this morning with a renewed sense of encouragement, no doubts, 100% belief, and filled with the power of your Holy Spirit to be your people this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.